Have you ever reached out to take a flower, a rose, only to grab a handful of thorns? Or maybe you've had to reach into a bush for some reason to grab something and you didn't realize what kind it was. Perhaps playing with the kids, you threw a ball in there, or a frisbee, or something happened and you reached in and realized that they're just thorns all over the place, and it rips and it tears as you pull out. Can you imagine having one of those thorns that when that happened, it lodged in your hand or in your arm and it stuck there, and as much as you try to dig it out, it just won't come out. And now it starts to infect and to fester, and every time you bump up against something, it jams it in a little deeper. That's what Paul was going through in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Except when he was talking about a thorn, he wasn't referring to a literal thorn from a rose bush or from a bramble. But he was using that word picture as a figure for some struggle that he was facing at the time. It was like a thorn caught in his flesh. And every time life rubbed up against that thorn, it hurt. It festered. It infected. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 10, Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul was facing the thorns, and he came out victorious. Perhaps you have been there. Perhaps you are there. I'd like for us to consider for just a few brief moments this morning how we can faithfully face the thorns and overcome victorious at the end of it. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we lift you up because you are magnificent. You are the creator and the sustainer. You are our redeemer. You are our merciful benefactor, our benevolent judge. You sent your son to die for us. And through his blood, we can have victory. I don't know, Father, what each and every person is facing here. I have no doubt that each of us have thorns that we struggle with, that threaten to overcome us. And we pray that you would fill us with faith, that we might respond to them as Paul did with this thorn in the flesh. That when we're done as he did, we can be victorious, that we can overcome. And because of that, we can stand and bow before your throne in eternity, casting down our golden crowns, shouting out your holiness. Father, we long for that day, and we pray that you help us live such that the thorns do not interfere. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we delve into exactly how to face the thorns, though, there are a few things that I think we need to lay as a foundation. A couple of concepts that we need to recognize. The very first thing that we need to understand from this passage is thorns happen. Thorns happen, and they happen to faithful Christians. If you're like me, there's kind of this idea that you have in the back of your mind that when I've been doing what's right, when I've been serving God, when I've been trying to put sin aside and striving to pursue His holy will, that surely in those moments what God is going to do is protect me from thorns. He's going to pamper me. He's going to make sure that none of those things can happen. But I want you to think about the fellow who is telling us this. This is Paul. This is the apostle. This is the one who gave up everything in order to be a child of God, who counted everything as loss in order to have the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. He had made all kinds of sacrifices. He served the Lord. He pursued holiness. And yet this man is the one who is facing a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what the thorn is, though many have argued and strived to figure it out. The text simply doesn't tell us. And I think there's a good reason why the text doesn't tell us. Because if the text had said that Paul said, my thorn in the flesh is this thing, we might be deluded into thinking that that's the only kind of thorn in the flesh and not realize how this applies to us. And so the text leaves it open. But it does give a list of things that go along with the thorn in the flesh. As he's talking about his thorn in the flesh, he comes around in verse 10 to talk about what he'll be content with. He says, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. Here we have kind of a summary of the kind of thorns in the flesh that we might face. Weaknesses. This word, as it's used, could mean different aspects. It could refer to a physical ailment. This is the word that's often used just to say that somebody's sick. Sometimes it's used to describe physical shortcomings. When Paul talks about his poor ability to speak, he talks about a weakness, even in this book, 2 Corinthians. But it's also used, as in Hebrews chapter 4, to refer to a spiritual weakness. All of these things can be thorns in the flesh. The term insults. Paul went through numerous insults. This term seems to refer to any type of suffering that's caused by someone's insolence or impudence. How many times was Paul beaten because someone was insolent or impudent? And then those last three terms, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, those seem to all be references to the same kind of thing. If you back up in chapter 11, as Paul talks about all of these things that he went through, labors, imprisonments. I'm looking in 11:23, imprisonments, beatings, near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. All of those kinds of persecutions and hardships and calamities. Interestingly, it's not just that, oh, this kind of happens to also come to Christians. These things happened to Paul because he was a Christian. And he prayed. He prayed 3 times for the Lord to take it away. And the Lord's response was, in one word, no. And that's hard for us to grasp. And yet, the thing that we need to understand is that thorns happen. And sometimes they don't go away quickly. Sometimes they linger. Sometimes until we pass from this life. Thorns don't mean God has turned His back on us. Thorns don't mean that something is automatically wrong with you. Thorns simply mean that we're still alive. Thorns happen, and they happen even to faithful servants of God. One other aspect that we need to recognize and consider before we move on to how to face the thorns, I'd like for us to think for a moment about the relationship between God and Satan and our thorns. Notice what this said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. In this text, it certainly appears, and I don't want to make any hugely blanket statements about all thorns, but in this text, this thorn certainly seems to have directly come from Satan. And yet, the text demonstrates that God allowed it. I think we need to understand that there is no answer about where all the thorns came from. When we consider what it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and the discipline of the Lord, I think we might find that some thorns directly come from God as discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we have respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So the reality is that some thorns due to discipline, some struggles, hardships may come upon us because of discipline from the Lord. I think we also can recognize from Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that some thorns simply happen because of time and chance. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, the preacher says, again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance happen to them all. I'll tell you what we do learn, though, about thorns from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It does not tell us where all thorns ever come from directly, but it does demonstrate to us what Satan wants to do with whatever thorn you have and what God wants to do. Whether the thorn is directly from Satan or from God or from time and chance, Satan wants to use the thorn to harass you. Satan wants to use the thorn to harass you and turn you away from God. But God wants to use the thorn no matter where it came from. Whether it was directly from Satan or directly from God or time and chance and circumstance, God wants to use the thorn to strengthen you, to draw you closer, to turn you to him. It was a messenger of Satan sent to harass, but God was using it so that Paul would not be conceited. Satan wants to use whatever is going on in your life to get you to abandon God. God wants you to use it to turn and draw closer to him. These are how these two enemies are using the thorns that you face. So how should we deal with them? The thorn has happened. We're face to face with the weakness, whether physical or spiritual, the insults that others hurl, the calamities, the hardships, the persecutions. How can we walk through that and come out victorious on the other side? The first thing that I think we should recognize from Paul is remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul comes back to this theme of weakness and strength. But this time he talks about Jesus. And I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, we see an underlying foundation that allowed what we read in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, Paul says, speaking of Jesus, for he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Jesus faced thorns. Very literally, he faced thorns. As Paul is facing his weakness, his hardships, his calamities, what does he remember? Jesus is not asking of Paul anything that Jesus was not willing to endure. Jesus himself faced all of these things and came through victorious. When you're facing your thorns, God is not asking you to do something he was unwilling to do himself. As Jesus came in the flesh and dealt with the weakness of human flesh, dealt with the insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. I don't know what you're going through, but you weren't the first to go through it. Jesus has been there and walked that road. Remember that. You're not alone. And having remembered that, the second thing we need to do is allow the thorns to lead us to God. Remember, we've already talked about the two enemies that are using that thorn. Satan wants to use it to turn us away from God, but God is hoping that it will cause us to draw closer to Him. How did Paul respond to the thorn? Did Paul go around and complain to people about, look at everything I've done for God. I can't believe this. I gave up being a Jew. I gave up that wonderful place. I had a fast track to the council. And now look at what God's doing. I get beaten. I get shipwrecked. Is that what he's doing? No, whatever this thorn in the flesh that he's dealing with is, instead of complaining to everyone about it, he prays. He continues to pray. What did Paul's thorn in the flesh do? It turned him to God. Remember, you've got two forces that are out there. Satan is the one that is whispering in your ear, see, God doesn't love you. If he loved you, he wouldn't allow this thorn. That's not truth whispering that. That's the enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about his life and his ministry, and he says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul is recognizing that he is this jar of clay and that all that he has is this jar of clay. That's all that he is. So that anything that's accomplished by him or in him or through him is actually God. All of these things, afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, carrying in the body the death of the Lord. Why? To demonstrate that God is the one who is victorious. And so when he recognized the weakness, the persecution, the calamity, the hardship, the insult, it would turn him to God. Philip Yancey tells a wonderful story of a friend of his who was a recovering alcoholic. And the man said that it used to upset him greatly because every day he would pray, God, take away from me the desire to drink. I don't want to drink anymore. Take it away. And every morning he would wake up and the first thought that came to his mind was, I need a drink. He said it angered him, it upset him until he realized that it was that first thought that led him to his second thought. I need to pray. It was his weakness that led him to the strength. It was his thorn that led him to God. Let your thorns lead you to God. Because what they remind you is you are a jar of clay and you need him. And having turned to God and being led to God, trust that God knows more about thorns than you do. Trust that God knows more about this entire situation than you do. Trust that God understands where this can lead. I don't know when Paul figured out that the thorn in the flesh was actually helping him with potential conceit. You can imagine having the kind of revelations that he had and doing the kind of work that he had done and making the kind of sacrifices that he had made. It might be easy to look down on everyone else because they hadn't done all the things he had done, experienced all that he had experienced. The conceit that could grow in his heart and in his mind. And so when Satan brought this messenger to harass him, God allowed the thorn to continue so that it could humble him and remind him that all that he had comes from God. I don't know when Paul figured that out. Maybe he figured it out in the middle of it. Maybe it was because God spoke to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." Maybe it was years later, and now after years of considering that whole scenario, he's able to write this to the Corinthians. I don't know. Here's what I know. I know that the people who always tell us look for the silver lining are annoying. Because sometimes I can't see the silver lining. And I search and I search and I search and I can't find the silver lining. So I think the better advice, rather than look for the silver lining, is you may not ever find the silver lining, but trust God understands this thorn better than you do. God can use this in ways that you can't imagine. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." It doesn't mean that everything that happens to us we'll judge as good. What it means is God knows how to make it work for good. Trust that God knows more about thorns than you do. And because you have trusted that God knows more about it, accept the thorns. God's response to Paul there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "My grace is sufficient for you." He's saying, "Paul, you don't need anything else. The grace that I give you is all that you need. If I've decided not to take the thorn away, this is all the grace you need." Understand that God is not saying to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you to deal with this thorn." What he is saying is, "This thorn is my grace, and it's sufficient. If you needed something else, if you needed the thorn removed, I'd remove it. The grace that I allow in your life is what you need." In my finite wisdom, or perhaps I should say in my infinite ignorance, when things aren't going my way, I think everything is awry. It's a great scandal. Why won't God work this out the way I want Him to on my timetable? What God is saying is, what I am allowing in your life right now, if you'll let it, is all you need right now. My grace is sufficient. So just do what I tell you. And accept that you have the thorn. We can turn to God and we can try to convince Him with all manner of argument that He needs to remove it. Sometimes we'll even try to manipulate God. "God, look at how much work I could do for you. Look, God, if you'd quit letting me get shipwrecked, I'd make it places and I'd preach the gospel to them. If you'd remove this physical ailment," some think that Paul had weak eyes, and perhaps he did, and maybe that's what he's talking about. "If you would remove that, God, imagine the work I could do." God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. Accept it." But more than that, more than accepting the thorns as if it's just resigning yourselves, "Well, I guess everybody has their thorn to bear." Remember, we learned a few weeks ago that we shouldn't say just everybody has their cross to bear, because that's not what that means. But we can say it here, everybody has their thorn to bear. Because they do. Instead of just having that kind of resignation, boast. Be glad for the thorns. Did you see that? Paul didn't simply accept it. He didn't say, "Okay, God, yes, I guess I'll have to trust you." He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So that the power of Christ may rest in me." He understood that it was only when he recognized his weakness, when he was able to be glad for it, and how it led him to God, and how it allowed God and opened up his heart for God to be able to work in him and through him. Only then could he truly have strength. I think this is a problem for us as American Christians, because here in America, we're all about independence and we're all about personal strength and we're all about pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you can handle this. Not so. The longer you keep thinking that, the less the power of God can work through you. These thorns come upon us so that we can recognize, I can't handle it. And you know what? I'm glad for that. Because I'm reminded how much I need God, and only then. Moses had to go through the rejection when he slew the Egyptian and running away. Because only then did he get to the point of realizing that he couldn't deliver Israel, which allowed God to work in him. So he could. Don't just accept and resign yourself to thorns. Be glad that you've got them. Because it's the thorns that open us up to God and His strength. Let them turn you to Him. And having remembered Jesus, and having turned to God and trust that He knows more, and so you've accepted the thorns, and now you're boasting gladly that God has allowed this to happen in your life, turn to strengthen others. I know this seems odd, and yet it's exactly where Paul goes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He talks throughout this letter about his own weakness. He talks about the people who insulted him because of the weaknesses that they saw in him. Then he gets to this point of saying, I'm glad for my weaknesses. And he even talks about Jesus and the weakness and the thorns that he went through. And then in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, he says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason, I write these things while I am away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. I read that whole paragraph because I wanted us to see the context, but notice that point smack in the middle. We are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Paul was glad about his own weakness if he could use it to strengthen others. He didn't care if they thought he had failed the test. He didn't care if they looked at him and said, you're so weak. Your physical presence isn't that great. Your speaking ability is no good. He didn't care if they saw his weak eyes and thought there must be something wrong with him. He didn't care. As long as whatever he had, whether weakness or strength, could be used to strengthen others. He said, that's what I pray for, that you will be restored, that you won't fail the test. You want to face the thorns victoriously? Turn to the Lord. Trust that He knows about it more. Accept it. Be glad in it. And then use it to strengthen others. And when you've done that, by the grace of God, you have overcome the thorns. How are you doing at that? If you're going to be using a songbook this morning, would you pull that out now, please? Song number 417, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Is that correct? Yeah. 417, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Sweet are the promises. By the way, let me just give you a foretaste of tonight. Sweet are the promises, but there's an interim between when God gives His promises and when He fulfills them. And that time when we're wondering, why haven't you done what you've said? Tonight we're going to be talking about that, living in the interim. Sweet are the promises. Kind is the word. Dearer far than any message man ever heard. The gospel did not come into the world so that we would miss the thorns. The thorns lead us to the gospel. Be glad. If God didn't allow you to have thorns, you wouldn't realize how much you need Him. Every one of those struggles, every one of those weaknesses, every one of those insults, hardships, calamities that you faced, Satan is wanting you to get upset and turn away from God, but God is saying, please, please recognize, I'm trying to help you realize you need me and I'm here, just come. If we can help you turn to God this morning, whether you need to become a child of God or whether you need strengthening in prayer as a child of God, we're inviting you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.